Morning, church. Wow, that was pretty loud. Just want to make sure everybody was awake. So, well, it's good to be back with you guys. You know, I've been gone for a little bit. I'm sure you probably noticed. And I wanted to thank everybody for your support. I know it's an inconvenience to you as a church to have me being in the reserves. One weekend a month not having me here, and then having me disappear for 3 weeks. And I appreciate Art picking up the slack, getting the help from Bill Paul. Everybody's stepping up and filling in the gaps to make sure that that I'm able to do that. And I want to tell you that over those 3 weeks, we were able to make sure that our troops had what they needed. They're doing a military exercise right now in Hawaii called RIMPAC, where we run military drills with other nations. And so without the support of the reservists, there's no way that this could happen. And so I just want to thank you for your support and your willingness to let me go and do this and to still serve you. Back before I left, you know, I was in a sermon series talking about the greatest gift. So we were looking at faith, hope, and love being the greatest spiritual gifts, and we came to the question of love. And we decided that love was the greatest gift because in it, we had a completion of everything. Jesus said that the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and the love of your neighbor as yourself were the greatest commands. And we realized that these gifts were greater than any sacrifice that was offered. We realized that these gifts, these two things, were a part of the majesty that leads us into eternity. And we realized that all of the law and the prophets hung on these two commands. And as Scott reminded us during our communion thought, Jesus wrapped up these two commands in dying on the cross for our sins. So I'm left with the question of how do we live it out, aren't we? Isn't that why we're here, is to learn how to live out our faith, how to take what Jesus gave us and to carry it forward? And so I wanted to look at how Jesus showed us love for our neighbor in his relationship with Mary of Magdalene. We start out seeing Mary of Magdalene in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And it says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some of the women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Now, when we talk about that, I think it's important for us to realize just how bad it was to have a demon. I wrote down a few things that demons cause that we see from the Bible. Seizures, irrational violence, preventing speech, causing blindness. A demon threw a young man into the fire and into the water to try and drown him. A demon, or many demons, legion, took a man, caused him to cut himself, break chains, caused him to just be violent towards everyone around him, run around naked. This was what demons did to people. It took a rational human being and turned them into animals. And this was the state of Mary Magdalene the day that she met Jesus. And Jesus, being he who he was, loved Mary. He loved her deeply, and he cast out those demons. You know, many of us, we can probably relate to Mary, can't we? Maybe our demons aren't as extreme as the ones we read about in the Bible, but we all come here broken, don't we? We come here with our hurts, with our pains, struggles. We come here with the realization that we're broken people. And Jesus, for us, just the same as he did for Mary, took us in and loved us. He fulfilled our needs for love and compassion and grace. And for us as believers, if we truly want to love one another, we need to do the same thing. We need to have in our hearts a willingness to look around and ask, what are the needs? Are we hurting? Are we in pain? Are we suffering? Are we looking amongst our brothers and sisters and asking ourselves the question, how can I help you? What are your needs? What do you need to know? What do you need help with? How can I bless you in your life? And stretching even further, what about the people who are outside this building? You know, by the grace of God, we are here today. By the grace of God, we have been saved. By the grace of God, we know what it is to be free of the pain and the agony that came of not knowing Him. But there's a whole world out there of people who are still suffering, still wondering where their next meal is going to come from, still wondering how they're going to pay their bills, still worried because that marriage that started off so great is struggling, still looking and going, I don't know how to live life without drugs and alcohol, still looking around and wondering, how do I get through this life, or is this life even worth living? Brothers and sisters, when you love one another, when you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you can't stand by and watch this happen. You can't let this be the norm. We have to look for the needs of the people in our lives. Now, you may say to yourself, you know, Jonathan, I can't cast out demons. Newsflash, I can't either, you know, or I haven't ever tried, but I've never been led to believe that I have the gift of casting out demons. But you know what? I can do little things. I can help somebody mow their lawn. I can help somebody to, I don't know. I mean, there's so many little things we can do, aren't there? We can come, you know, one thing, we can thank John and Bob for these first two pews here being a different color than the others, because they took the time to sand and stain those pews, and they've been working on trying to get through and do that with others. We can help them with that. There's so many little things that people need. I'm gonna tell on Julie real quick. When I was coming home from Hawaii, one of the things that I was least looking forward to was grocery shopping. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. You know, I want to get home, I want to relax, but I have to have groceries. If I don't have groceries, I don't eat. If I don't have groceries, I go to McDonald's, you know, and we all know that doesn't end well. But when I got home, Julie had brought me breakfast, made breakfast for me, and when I looked in the refrigerator, it was just full of groceries, vegetables, fruits, you know, healthy food for me to eat. It was a little thing. But it had a big impact because it's something that I needed. Do we stop and think about the little things? Do we stop and consider the needs of our brothers and sisters? I know I take care of my needs. I need gas in my car, so I go to work so I can buy gas. I need groceries, so I go and buy groceries. I need a car that works, so I maintain my car. I take care of me. I love myself pretty well. I care for my needs. And Jesus is telling us we have to have that same care for other people. We have to step outside of ourselves and look at the needs of the people around us. Where can we help others in their needs? Jesus also taught us what it means to love one another by living in relationship. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You see, relationship was what Jesus was all about. It was the whole reason he came. And as Scott pointed out, that's what made him stand out. That's what made him different than everybody else, because when people saw Jesus, they saw somebody who cared. They saw somebody who wanted to do good for them, who thought well of them, who wanted to be in a relationship with them. They saw someone who loved them dearly. And as Martha is looking here, she's not thinking about relationship at all. Aren't we the same way? Don't we have it in our mindset somewhere, well, if I'm going to invite brother so-and-so over, well, then I'm going to have to make sure I clean the house, I'm going to have the dishes done, I'm going to make sure everything's lined up, I got to make sure I've got a nice pot roast to cook, got to make sure there's carrots and vegetables, got to make sure there's those appetizers before, we got to have a good solid dessert for after, do I have coffee? I need to make sure I have regular coffee and decaf coffee. Do I have tea, just in case they're not coffee drinkers? And we go through this whole process, this whole big to-do, and we feel like we have to do this if we're going to have fellowship. We got to have this big shebang, and I've got to make sure everything's lined out, or I've got to make the very best meal I know how. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, Martha, slow down. Slow down. How are you? How are you doing? How's your life? Where are you at? What's going on with you? I'm not worried about your food. I'm not worried about how clean your house is. I'm not worried about all these little things that are such a huge focus right now. You see, Mary, she's where she needs to be. She is here learning, growing, finding encouragement. And that's where Jesus wants us to be. If we truly love our neighbor as ourselves, we've got to spend time together. We've got to live in relationship. And that may mean sometimes we get a phone call from somebody going, hey, I really need to talk to you. I really need some time with you right now. Well, my place is a mess and I'm cleaning, but if you want to come over and talk while I clean, you're welcome. Or, well, you know, I only have a half an hour, but you know what? If you want to meet at the coffee shop, let's meet at the coffee shop for a half an hour. Because brothers and sisters, when we reach out to people who have needs, when we start looking out in the world and saying, Jesus loves you, these things are going to happen. And we have to have a heart that says, you know what? I will take time for you. I will love you enough that I will build that relationship. Brothers and sisters, relationship is what love is all about. Jesus also taught us that loving one another means being able to be with people where they are emotionally. In John chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, we're going to learn about a major situation in Mary's life. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Now, as we consider this story, there's a few things that I really want to point out here about who Jesus was. The first thing is that Jesus was such a close friend to Mary that she didn't even hesitate when her brother got sick. There wasn't a pause. There wasn't a, you know, Jesus is really busy. He's got his ministry going. You know, I know he's got to be 100 different places. My brother's sick, but I know he's busy, so I probably shouldn't bother him right now. We don't see anything like that. As soon as she found out, she realized how sick Lazarus was, she went right to him. Straight there. She understood that she had the kind of relationship that she could ask and that Jesus would be there. That's the relationship that we have with Jesus as well. And the reality is that, as we often experience, answers don't always come quickly. Now, this is a side note off of loving one another, but I think it's important to realize that when God doesn't answer us quickly, it doesn't mean that he's not answering. You know, Jesus said that this was for the glory so that the Son of God might be glorified through this action. This was for Jesus' glory. You know, if you'd asked me when I felt like my world was crumbling, when I'd lost my job, when everything, when the people that I loved started walking out of my life, left and right, and everything started crumbling, if you'd asked me then, where is God? I'd have told you I don't know. I know he's here somewhere, but I can't see him. Where is he? Why isn't he answering? Why don't I understand what's going on? But I can look at you today and say that the Lord is full of hope. I can look at you today and to say that God has given me everything that I lost and more back. I can stand before you today and say that the Lord is good in spite of everything that man has done to me. So brothers and sisters, when you face those situations, when you reach a point where you're looking and asking, where is God? Consider the joy that you may be what God is using to show his light unto the world. Another point, something to think about as we're calling on people and asking for help from our brothers and sisters, is people aren't always able to answer right away when we ask for help. But let's not judge each other in those situations. Let's recognize that we want to help and we'll help as best we can. But let's have grace for each other so that if we call and we say, you know, I can't, can we do something tomorrow afternoon? It's not I don't love you. It's not I don't care. It's that that's when I have the next available time. So let's love each other in that way as well. Finally, I want to make the point that Jesus, loving Mary as he loved himself, changed her life. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Jesus had left such a lasting impact on the life of Mary that she humbled herself to wash his feet with her hair. And the many scholars would argue that the perfume that Mary used for Jesus that day was the perfume that was supposed to be used for her wedding day. I want you to think about that. Jesus, through loving his neighbor as he loved himself, taught Mary this very same attribute. She gave up what was most valuable to her, to wash the feet of Jesus. Now we may be thinking to ourselves, I'm not Jesus. And I'd be the first to admit that I'm not. But Jesus set this pattern for us so that we can take care of and love one another. You see, oftentimes we don't appreciate what our actions affect others. But through loving one another, we can see powerful changes in people's lives.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. Now is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met, and never will.
We never know the impact that we're going to have on the lives of others. We never know how that one time that we care for the need of a brother or sister or lost soul will impact them. We never know how that one time that we stop and we say, you know what? I'm going to set this other thing aside to be in relationship is going to change the direction of the life of another. I realized as we were watching the video that I missed the scripture about Jesus weeping when he saw Mary. Jesus wept when he saw the hurt that was in Mary's heart after Lazarus had died. He wept. Why? There's no reason to weep. Because Mary was hurting. Oftentimes in life, we have a way of minimizing people's hurts. Well, be thankful, at least it's not like this person. Could be worse, it could have been like this. And we have a way of looking at and saying, you know what, that's not that big of a deal. But to that person, it's huge. Mary had lost her brother. Jesus was going to give him back, but he hurt with her. Brothers and sisters, we never know what an impact we can have when we hurt with people, when we're willing to say, you know what? I know God's got better plans for you. I know this isn't where you're going to be, but right now your heart's broken and I want to cry with you. Or in those times when they're full of joy, when they feel that experience of elatedment, as Nate had, to say, I want to rejoice with you. But this is loving one another. This is relationship. Brothers and sisters, if we have the kind of relationship with Christ that he had with Mary, if we have that relationship with others, we have the power to change the world. And the lives that could be changed by our choices could fill this room, could fill the room behind it, could fill the Colosseums. Because what Jesus brought in loving others was something that empowered and changed people's lives. If you are here and you haven't accepted Jesus, he's not your Savior, then we want you to have that opportunity. We want you to find us and to talk with us so that we can share the message of Jesus Christ, so that we can teach you what it means to die to yourself, to be buried with him, and to be raised again, a new creation. And if you have Jesus in your life and you just need some encouragement, need someone to pray for you, need someone to build you up, you know who our leaders are in the church. We're available to you. But whatever your needs are, we just ask you to consider those things while we sing.